You are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey, everybody. This is Leo Costa Jr. coming at you from SeriousGrowth.com. Today on the show, we have Sparkle. Sparkle, how are you?
Sparkle Spurgeon, hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, you know what? I was looking over your bio, and I got to be honest with you. I became exhausted going over your bio. Do you have insomnia or what? What the hell's going on? You're like always busy.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how I do it every day. I'm like...
So, I guess you're a Fresno native, but you went to Los Angeles to write and model, correct?
Yeah, well, okay. So what happened is I moved in 2004, right after I graduated from Fresno Pacific. I went straight to LA and I worked for LA Splash. It was really cool. I got to interview people like John. I interviewed a lot of amazing people. But then, I mean, being a writer in any town, it just doesn't pay the bill. So I actually got a job at a gym because I was like, you know, I'll do this on the side or whatever. And I wanted a free gym membership.
Yeah.
Like, kill two birds with one stone. So I just got a job there. They said, work at the personal training fund and try to sell training, and you need to get your training certificate. Yeah. So I did. And what happened is I would give people the first personal training session at LA Fitness. And then we did with another trainer. Like, I sold them the training package. And they were like, oh, we want you to be our trainer. I'm like, I can't be it. Even though I got my training certificate, because my job was to sell training every day.
Yeah.
And I eventually became, like, the general manager for personal training at the LA Fitness in Los Angeles.
Okay. Going back to the articles that you were publishing, what kind of articles were they?
It was a lifestyle entertainment magazine, LA Splash. So I would go to a lot of red carpet events, a lot of galas, and, you know, talk about what was going on. And it was, like I said, everything was done in a very cheap fashion. So I'd be going, and then, you know, sometimes you'd have to take your own camera, take your pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't have very few pictures. So one time I, like, took all these pictures, so I went, and the cap was on the lens. So just things like that you learn. I was like, Paris Hilton's party, a cap on the lens. I learned how to just do all that, roll with the punches. I would get to wear cool, like, furs and stuff as I'd go on the red carpet. So I got to borrow, like, really cool clothing that I get to wear that night, just borrow for the night and get back the next day. So that was exciting.
Nice.
Being a small town girl, a big city girl.
No, that's pretty cool. And then you got into acting and modeling. So I'm assuming,
yeah.
So when you got into that, were you still doing your personal training?
Personal training is what I've been doing on and off for 15 years.
Okay.
I started acting. I have a theater degree from Fresno Pacific, so I was in all the plays there. I started into some commercials. My first star was in a Blink-182 video when I was 16, the song All the Small Things. And because we live in Fresno and all the other things happen like that, the radio station New Rock 104 played, they paid for us to get a limousine. After that video. So I was like, wow, this is so cool. But then you move over there and things like that happen all the time where you're in music videos. So
yeah.
I did both and, you know, helped out with stunts, knowing to be physically fit, helped out to where I've never had a stunt couple with training.
Well, it sounds like you're a hustler for sure. What kind of modeling did you do? Runway?
Mainly, I'm a little short for that.
Oh, really?
So I'm a little short. That's why you always see me in heels. So you know, I'm a little short. So I do a lot of fitness. Fataza is one of my main sponsors. Or actually, the woman that created Fataza is from Mycelia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's an activewear line. They just started bikinis, and they just started these awesome waistbands. So yesterday when I came, I was like sweating it out with these. Awesome, because I've never had a waistband before. So I started at this one.
So what that does is it heats the area up, makes you sweat, pull a little water out of your system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was very sweaty after working out with this yesterday.
Yeah. That could be used as something you can put underneath your dress, right? Hold you like a bustier? No?
But then it would just be sweating the whole night if you went out like that.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Never mind. And then, you said you got on a Jimmy Kimmel show. Tell me about that.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was, okay, the Jersey Shore. At the time, the Jersey Shore was doing spinoffs. So Snooki was getting her spinoff, and I guess everybody had their spinoff. I mean, I've only seen it a couple times. That was back in the day. So they were going to do a spinoff where the duck phone had its own spinoff. So they had a duck phone. So I was doing a spoof for the Jimmy Kimmel Show. They had this duck phone that they wanted to make out with and be like, hey, I love you, duck phone. So it was like this wooden duck with like a bill. So I had one of those big Buddha bodybuilders come in and punch the duck phone and be like, no, duck phone, you know. And they would do this over and over every time. So we had to glue back the bill of the duck on the duck phone after like every day because he would really punch it. And, you know, so I had to make out with that without making out. We had to punch it a little bit more. You know, we had it staged. I guess, you know, I have that Jersey girl look, so. They wanted me to play like, you know, just like kind of a Jersey girl looking girl, and like he was like a Jersey guy looking guy. I mean, it was right when the Kardashians were coming out, so before I was identified as like a Kardashian, I got identified as Jersey as a Jersey short girl.
So were you actually like a guest, like on the couch, like the chair next to him?
I did the speech. I did the whole acting. I never was next to him, but I spent a lot of time in the green room. There, he would just invite me back, and I got to do all the parties. But I was never actually interviewed all together with an acting school. You know,
okay.
Yes, so that's what I was doing.
Hey, you never know what sets off a career, to be honest with you.
Right.
How you're discovered. Okay, so now you're doing a talk show featuring local talent. So what are these local? I know I was on your show, and I loved it. I really had a great time.
Well, you are local talent, so.
It was a kick to be on your show. And so what, like different, where do these people come from? What kind of backgrounds? I mean, I'm from, you know, the background of training, but what did you just, any?
Okay. So this, what I do is the focus of my show is people doing big things in a small town. Because right now, so much stuff is happening in the Southern Valley. When I left here in 2004, obviously nothing was happening, but we only had one acting outlet. Alan Autry had Rodeo Link Productions. There was like one film for that. Like one, you know, there was such like, there was one thing for everything. That's it. We didn't have options. It was like, this is what you do. This is where you go. You want this. Right. I come back 15 years later and then, you know, the red carpet's out. We have all these opportunities now and all these options. And now people are doing everything. And I think it's amazing how Fresno grew. And I'm like, the perfect example of someone that saw what it was to what it's done. Even GP3, we didn't even have that back then. We had George Brown Fitness, George Brown Sports Club, and there was like a couple. And now there's like, you know, we have six good locations spread out that we can go to anywhere. Not in my cellar yet, but that's what you're for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like in the Fresno Clovis area, we have six of these gyms. And like even you have, now gyms are growing in my cellar, as you know.
Yeah.
The whole Central Valley is growing.
No, it is. It's not. You know, when I, with that being said, when I first started in 82, there was no one doing it in my area. You know, it, like you
said,
if you take a look at it now, it's like on every corner, there's all kinds of people. You know,
and that's good. I mean, I know for business efforts, we're like, oh my gosh, that's good because it's growing. The concept is growing. People are working out. The more people get in the gym, the more all of our gyms do better because, you know, some people, I know a lot of people in this town that don't even make a lot of money and they want to have 2 to 3 different gym memberships.
Yeah.
I'm a little too cheap for them. A lot of people love the con. They want to have their options.
No, and look, the fact that people are coming into the area, competition always is good. It makes you, it's going to make you either better or you're going to drop
off.
You know, so I see it as a good thing. I'd rather that happen than, you know, the other, not having anybody do that. That tells you that.
Right.
So I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. People want to have multiple gym memberships. It just gets people in the idea. We have to have a gym membership in the first place.
Yeah. So I know. Okay, so now I'm reading. You are completing 10 movie projects. Okay, what kinds of movies are those? I want to be in.
Okay. Most of them are short films, but I am working on a feature right now. Actually, a film that I saw is called The Bad Seed. That's a remake of the 1955 classic about an evil child, an evil little girl that. You know, kills people, but it's not like one of those modern day science fiction where it's like something in her. It's more like going off of like, this is how she is, like kind of like the whole psychopath versus things. And this version I'm doing is so amazing because they're really channeling that maybe she didn't inherit it from her parents directly, but she inherited it from her ancestors of the skin
generation. Oh, way back.
And we're really going into this weird psychology of it. I love it. I play Miss Fern, the teacher. And this is the first project I've done this year where I was like, oh my gosh, am I good enough for this role? Because the acting is so astounding. We're dealing with a lot of very serious subject matter.
Yeah.
Children that are murdering.
Oh, yeah.
The kids that are murdered, their parents are reacting to the fact that their kid died and this and that. So it's so emotional, dramatic. It's a little bit draining at the end of the day. Off the set. And, you know, you're entertaining the kids in between. That's like, hey, how's it happening? You know, it gets all serious and you know, this kid just killed somebody 2 minutes later, you know? So it's a very interesting dynamic that I'm excited to be a part of. It's a very interesting experience.
I don't know if I told you when I was on your show, but I did a audition for Bodyguard. Remember that movie?
Of course.
Yeah.
I lived soundtrack in 92. Gymnastics. So, used to listen to that on the way to gymnastics.
Yeah. So anyway, how that happened for me was I was in those days, I was down training Kevin Costner for Dances with Wolves. Okay. I knew Kevin from high school. He came to high school, my high school for like 1 year. Okay. And then of course, if you look in the yearbook, Costner, we're next to each other in the yearbook as it turns out. But anyway, that's another story. So I was training Kevin and then all of a sudden, this is a few years later, and I get something in the mail says, you want to come audition for a bodyguard? And there was this part, I can't remember the part. So I'm thinking, hell yeah, I'll go down there and do that. So they sent me my lines. Okay, it wasn't that long, Sparkle. I mean, I'm going to say maybe 20 words, okay? I'm thinking, oh, I can nail the shit out of this. So I'm on my way down. I mean, it was only 20 words, something like that. I'm practicing my lines, you know? Then I get down there, then it starts getting real because I walk into this place and there's a whole room full of people that are auditioning for this part, my part. Thinking, oh, okay, I got a little nervous about this. I can do it. I go sit in that little room, and then a few minutes later, the director comes in or the producer, whatever, two people. Have you studied your lines? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. So, you know, they had to go, okay, ready, action. That was it. I choked.
Oh, no, you didn't. You're
no,
so
I
good
did.
How did that happen? How?
Oh, shit. I said, wait. I can do better. No, I can't. I said, you know what? I'm good. I'm just going to leave. You know, I mean, I told Kevin after this whole thing was over, I said, man, I really appreciate the opportunity. But, you know, Sparkle's like anything else. Those guys on the screen, they make it look easy. It's not. As far as I'm concerned, it's not, you know. And I got a whole new respect for people that are acting like that on the screen. But I will say this. I got to redeem myself because I did do a non-speaking part. For the Cannes Festival, I nailed the shit out of that one. I didn't have to say anything. I was like I was guarding a door, you know, of a drug deal that was going in behind me. So I got my, you know, 2 minutes of fame there that went nowhere. But anyway, it's amazing that you guys can act in front of a camera.
That is so fun. But now I think years later that you can nail that role if you have a chance.
I think I could do better because I think with age comes, you know, my give a shit has gone and went a little bit. So I think I can just do it.
Right.
You know, it'll be easier that way. Okay. So are you producing these or acting in? I know you're acting in them, but are you producing?
I am producing. I'm producing The Bad Seat. I produce a short film called It Calls. And that actually won the German Film Festival this past summer.
Okay.
We created that film for, that was one of the short films I was talking about. That was the first time I ever produced a project. It was really cool. We actually shot some of that at my grammar school. So that was cool. So I got like some location. I was really active for that. It was a really awesome project. And so now I'm also a producer on The Bad Seat, which is really fun. Now I'm producing a feature film.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting, the different dynamics of what I want to do. I thought to do a voiceover movie this year, and that was the first time I ever got to do that, an animated voiceover. And I loved it because I thought I was going to not like it because I don't like my voice, but I got to have an accent and have a different voice, so I absolutely loved it.
Oh, great. What kind of accent?
And I love listening to myself.
What kind of accent do you have?
It was a Transylvanian accent.
Really? That's Eastern Europe, yeah?
Yeah, so that was very interesting. So good with that accent, you didn't tell that it was you. So I was pretty excited about that.
Well, why don't you give me a few words and see if you still have the accent? I'm curious to know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you're not ready for that? Huh? No.
I am not ready for that.
It's fine. I didn't want
to. I had to practice that for you to do that. That was months ago.
Oh, that's...
I don't every day wake up and be like, hey, that role I kept coming
Just curious. Okay.
Well, it's called Wolf Strike, and I'll send you the video. And you can
play
it. I did it with all me. There was no synthesizing. It was just on my voice. So
Send it to me. I would check that accent out. Okay. So it's obvious that you never sleep. Oh, I was going to ask you this. Producing versus acting. Is there one that you like better? Do you like them all? Because I'm sure that's a whole different dynamic, right?
Oh, I like acting. I mean, I never, asked any producer. It just kind of fell in my lap. But it's cool because I'm good at running things. You know, I ran a business for years in Los Angeles. Right now, I'm running Sparkle Fitness. You know, it's still a fitness business. Even though I train on GP3 and because my name is Sparkle, the word park is in that word and fitness, so it's park, Sparkle Fitness, park fit, and I do boot camp in the park, so.
See, method to your madness. So I was going to ask you, Sparkle, now, what does that say about your, is that your given name, first of all?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
It was my dad's idea.
Fabulous.
My dad said I was a sparkle in his eye, some BS.
I thought that there might be a story to that. I was going to ask you about that too, if it was your given name and all that kind of, and how did that, what was the inspiration if it wasn't your name, but that just settled that. Anyway, I can tell that, just your personality is something. When I went to do your show, I can tell that you're the type of personality that you can walk into a room and the atmosphere changes immediately. Have you always been like that?
I hope that's a good thing, Leah.
Well, I think it is. But have you always been like that? Or were you like an introvert and then all of a sudden something happened and then you're now you? How did that work out? Because you're very up and bubbly, and I can tell you're going 100 miles an hour all the time. I could tell when I went to the show over there, when you came storming in and went into the bathroom. You remember that? I knocked on the door. I was the guy that was knocking on the door, and you were in there getting changed to go do your spot for the show. So I'm thinking, okay, I think I know who this person is. So anyway, you always been.
Well, it's always the best place to meet people.
What's that?
It's always fun to meet people right outside the bathroom. That's
exactly. No, take your time. I'm fine. So again, have you always been like that, or have you been painfully shy? Is this who you've been always?
Well, it's pretty much. It's funny that you think that because I have that internet. And George Brown is over here, but he doesn't want to be on camera, but he's amazing. One of his locations. He works out every day. That man's
I've trained in his places.
What's that?
I've trained in his places years ago.
Oh, yeah. He does a great good job. He runs a great thing. So anyways, I had over 100 articles published when I was 20 years old. I started writing for the specialty at age 16, and my first writing experience was writing about the food. So I wrote about that, and then from there on, I had a column about CD reviews. We had CDs back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so I'd write about the CD reviews, and then I'd write about pretty much whatever I wanted. And it's kind of like odd how my life is full circle because my interviews now, I get to kind of interview whoever I want about their world. So I'm really focusing on this, what's going on in Silicon Valley. And that's what I did years ago for the first thing. So I kind of moved from, writing journalism to broadcast journalism. Yeah. And I got to be more introverted doing that, but it brought me out of my shell because to get some of these paper interviews, you had to come out of your shell. So now, a combination of all that led to me being
you.
Now you can't be afraid anymore. Yeah, you have to, because those interviews, you're going to go and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here. Instead of just, you can't be shy in the background, like, oh, my God, my show. Oh, okay. Like Gary Dyer, he's going to be on my show next week, Thursday, December 5th.
Yeah.
And I did not shyly, you know, ask him to be on there. He trains, you know, at the GP3 on Champlain, GP3 North. So he trains at that one, typically works out there. So I see him every day. I'm like, hey, you need to come on my show and talk about running for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. You know, the crazy thing is, when I first, I used to be painfully shy in some sort of situations or circumstances. You know, I was an athlete, I was a quarterback, I led my team. I was okay in that environment, but I used to drop classes in school if there was any presentation. And I did that at college. I mean, if I couldn't even tell you how to chew gum in front of class. I was that freaked out about it, you know? And, but I tell you what happened, and this is kind of tie into what you're saying. When I got into this business, I realized that if I didn't come out of that shell, and it's about motivation, you know, there, because I knew that I couldn't do that because I had to educate people back then. Believe it or not, about fitness and training, especially to women. And I knew that that was going to hold me back. And I worked through that. And here's the crazy thing that I found is I didn't know how good of a speaker and how good I actually was in front of people. I let my fear just really just hold me back, you know? And once I learned that, I thought, well, son of a gun, I didn't know that I could do that. You know, what a boost of confidence, you know?
And now you're great at it. Well, you're really made for that.
Well, it's like something I overcame, you know, which is I keep going back to the motivation has to be greater than the obstacle. It's like that even with bodybuilding. That sport is so unforgiving.
Very much so.
You know, if you don't have enough motivation, you can't do that. It's impossible. And I've always used my bodybuilding background, especially to move me forward in every other thing. It taught me so many lessons, and that's just one of them, you know? And so it sounds like you came out of a shell too. So, okay, so let's talk about you being a trainer now. I know that you started way back when. What is your end goal as a trainer when you're working with your clients?
You know, I'm right now all over the map of my clients. I have a lot of people that are older. And it's really amazing because back when I was at LA, most of my clients were younger. Like I said, I was managing gyms and I did training at all of those gyms. So I didn't get to see people in the progress. When I moved to Fresno, it was all about one-on-one personal training clients today, where they're starting to go. So right now, a lot of my clientele is older, and it's so amazing. Like what I've learned is that age does not matter at all. As far as the setback, a lot of my clients, I'm talking like 7, are actually stronger than some of the younger ones. I was training a teenager all of last year. You know, she was 17 years old. She turned 18 while, you know, we were training. And, you know, her stamina was just so much. She wasn't super overweight, just, you know, a little bit. She wanted to shed some weight. But my 70-year-old woman, they have so much stamina. There's so much strive to just go and do the best they could be and do their best. So that's what I really noticed. I mean, I really love that these older women, nothing holding them back. I mean, giving them, this is everything. I know this is prolonging their life. And I think that's just so fascinating. It motivates me because I'm like, oh, when I'm that age, nothing's going to hold me back. So it's funny because they use me to motivate them, but they're motivating me.
I've told my clients the same thing. Going back to that, the 17-year-old, I have to tell you, over the years, here's what I've noticed. I think the young kids, sign of the times, they're too damn coddled, they're too damn babied, you know, and you're right. Us old-timers, we're way stronger, mentally and physically in some cases.
And that's true. That's what they say about the mentally. Yeah. The mental business, it's a
body. Yeah. It's true, man. And like you said, I learned a lot from my clients when they thought that I was inspiring them. It was actually the reverse of all that, you know? So it was always real cool when I got that feedback from them. So do you train your clients every day or is it just so many days a week?
It's just a few days a week. There's nobody I'm training every day. I mean, my output summer boot camp is a competition. And that's really interesting as well. They improve so much my boot campers. And a lot of people get afraid when they don't work boot camp, they go, you know, with the military, and they're going to drop and give me 20 every 2 minutes. And it's, you know, it's a little bit different. Yeah. Exercising outside. Yeah, I have all the ropes, I have the tires, the weights. Do the whole shebang that we are doing a lot of intense, you know, all of that, but it's not, it's something that everybody can do. We do an amount of starting ropes and going ropes, nobody's watching you. Again, it's all this fear stuff. A lot of people don't go for things because of fear. I know a lot of people are doing gym because people don't look at them. And I try to explain how egocentric everybody is at the gym. Like, no one's going to be looking at you at all.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a hard thing to get over. You know, one of the things I learned right off the bat was that part of the goal is just to get them in through the door because they are intimidated. And it was hard for me to understand that until I went and did my first photo shoot as a bodybuilder at Gold's Gym in Venice Beach, where all the pros are. Man, I was like, so that gave me a whole different perspective. When I was training clients, and I was more empathetic about that, you know? And of course, I think what you're saying is like, I made sure that I developed a program for them that they could do, because that was part of them getting over that and getting that confidence. It's like with me learning how to speak in front of people, it's like, oh, I can do this, you know? And I think that's really a mark of a good trainer when you're empathetic to that and where you can make, it doesn't matter what client that comes into you, it doesn't matter what walk of life, you have enough skill to put them at ease enough to at least want to come in and give it a try. That's half the battle.
Yeah, I'm bad. I tell really inappropriate jokes sometimes. So that's what kind of puts them like gone down with them. And they start laughing. You know, these are 70-year-olds. I think people think that they've lost their sense of humor. And they want to work out and they want to laugh.
Yeah.
And I kind of provide both. So, but yeah. Yes, I tell a lot of jokes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I should just let them laugh.
Well, that should be a part of it. You know, the thing about this is in my studio, for example, that where my trainers are training, it's always been about, I said, look, the number one thing is because when clients come to you, they have these goals that they are trying to achieve. So that is always a priority. In other words, I always made it a priority that when you come into the gym, I was going to give you the very best workout that I could possibly give you each and every time. But that didn't mean that we couldn't converse, engage, have fun. And we do in my facility. I mean, we're sarcastic. Everybody knows that coming in, and it just puts everybody at ease, you know, and that should be a part of the program, because if you're just this drill master, you know, that's all up their butt and it's so serious. I mean, you're not going to have clients that are going to stick around for, you know, that long a time. You'll have a very small group that's willing to tolerate that.
And I see that's the difference between me and other trainers. I'll joke around and be like, why do they look so miserable?
Yeah, true that.
And we'll be doing like just as hard things. Like, we're doing hard things, but like I said, there's laughter or anything. People want to feel like anything, and that's what they're doing because they're training. And sometimes people treat people like they're going to act a certain way. You treat people like they're overweight. Can't do things, they're going to act a certain way. So I just treat everybody like they're young and able, and we're going to have the time of their lives, and then these things start acting up.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's really a smart approach. So is there a certain group of people that you work with, or do you work with across the board? Do you work with athletes, or I know you're saying that you work with an older group of people, but do you work with different walks of life, athletes and people that have been hurt or anything like that?
I've done a lot of rehabilitation. You know, it's funny, I've gravitated towards a lot of like rehabilitation work. I'd love to work more with athletes. The one thing I have done is some of these bodybuilders that have been competing. I will give them a very intense core ab training workout. So some of these big muscle men will come to me just for abs. Because that's my first thing. That's why I spend a lot of time. That's the most neglected muscle. Nobody wants to do it. These guys come and they're like, oh, you gotta pump this out. That's easy. How easy is it to do bicep curls? That's easy. It's fun. But doing abs, the most intense ab workout, that's not fun. No one's like, hey, let's do abs.
Yeah.
So that's where I come in. Yeah. I'm like, no, this is when you get your body perfect, except you're kind of pregnant. I tell them that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's get that off. It's not going to, you know, we need to have a good freaking abs. That's what I like. A lot of these men these days have forgotten that.
Yeah, that happens. And, you know, and obviously.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, and the thing about that is your weaknesses are glaring once you get on stage. You know, you can, so many bodybuilders don't pay attention to all that kind of stuff because, you know, it's easier to train the show muscles and the muscles that respond. And it's hard.
Right.
It's hard, and it's more fun. Yeah. So it's hard to train the weak body parts or the body parts you don't care. That's where all that discipline comes in. So you're filling a very important void for a lot of these athletes like that. Were you ever overweight?
No, and people ask me that a lot. And I know there would be a better story if I could say, oh, yeah. I've always been active my whole life. And I was in gymnastics very young. And it's always been in my blood to just work out no matter what. So I can't lie and say that, yeah, I was overweight. I've always had a pretty decent, I've let myself go a little bit. Never too much. I can never actually say that I was proud. Well, but let me say this, I trained a gal way back when
and she had the opposite problem of people who are overweight. She had a hell of a time putting weight on, and she was just as frustrated as some of the people that I worked with that were trying to drop weight.
Oh yeah, you know? I've seen those people. Yeah,
sure. So I said, oh yeah, great, you have the best of everything, you can eat whatever you want. But, you know, she said, no, I'm trying to keep myself from being too skinny. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I guess, you know, when you have that, when you have the problem of being overweight, you think it's more important than the person who is skinny that's trying to put on weight and that can't keep weight on. But they're both the same. It's a struggle both ways, I think.
Yeah, it is. And then most likely, you know, people always make people like that feel that way. And it goes back to feeling how we grew up. And, you know, she probably was teased at some point for being underweight. And, you know, like me, I'm short. So it's like, yeah, so my blood weight is funny. But I learned how to work it. I'm short, but, you know, I'm still modeling. I'm making money to represent the Tazo. And, you know, she pays me very generously to wear these waistbands to, you know, wear her workout clothes. It's good quality, so I enjoy it. And,
yeah,
you know, wearing good quality stuff and getting paid for it, it's fun. Who doesn't want to do that? You get free products and you can have a good time wearing it and rocking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. So as far as your training is concerned, you know, I'm back in the industry again, and my products were called and are called like Serious Growth is one of the training courses. Big Beyond Belief. Okay, now here's the thing that we're trying to again, I'm back into educating. Did you see that? Something almost killed me. I'm back into educating people again, and this time I'm talking more to the women as much as I am the men, because here's what is not happening from my perspective. And again, I don't know if you're seeing this. I think that if women want to get in the best shape that they possibly can, they need to train as a bodybuilder. And I don't know if your training is a reflection of that, or what kind of training, I guess, are you actually doing for yourself?
I agree with all of that, except for the fact that can get very dangerous. I'm sure you're training people very well, but people are doing that on their own. You know, women are not doing enough cardio. Well, some women are doing too much cardio, I know that. But a lot of women I see are coming in here and doing a lot of chest days, a lot of hard shoulders, all that. And they have all that. That's important, but that's not going to get rid of some. And I'm sure you know a lot of females and men, but mainly females, it's all that circle. It's this whole little circle that's a problematic area. You got your hips, your butt, your side. And so I think there needs to be a little more focus on that area before we start lifting all the weights. But it is important. It's important that they start doing a lot more back, whether or not are neglecting the back. So you know what you're saying, but we need to be focusing on that circle. So I agree with what you're saying, but we still need to focus on getting that whole little circle part trim.
Okay. And again, I think that, again, we all have our own ideas and our own strategies, and I'm good with that, you know. And it's just that what I learned way back when is that females are tougher than I thought that they could be. And as far as when it came to training, and women actually,
right.
What they were afraid of back then was that when they started lifting like a bodybuilder and training like a bodybuilder, that they were going to become this the Hulk.
Oh, and that's you're right.
That's a misconception, you know.
Completely. I understand what you're saying. You're right.
You know what I mean? So once I learned that, and then I also learned something I thought that was pretty interesting, was that when women were on their time of the month, you know, they actually produced the highest level of testosterone on the third day.
Yes.
So when a female told me that they were using that as an excuse, I said, bullshit. Based on your physiology, you're going to be...
You should be working harder.
Exactly right. There's no excuse for using
that. And I understand that. You're so right, though. Yeah, now I know what you're saying. 100%.
Yeah.
You should be working out like men. You know, I can still deadlift, you know, twice my weight. I still work. So, yes, I do train like a bodybuilder. That's like women should. I just don't want everything to get neglected. That's a lot of men.
Right.
I'm pretty much neglecting their midsection. And I just, that's where I get a little bit nervous when I see women coming in and just doing all the men that are like, whoa, but you still have that. We want to get rid of that. You know, right there in that midsection. That's what gets me uncomfortable. But I see what you're saying, and you're 100% right.
Well,
I look twice my body weight, and I'm not really bulky. I have, you know, nice lean muscles.
Yeah.
And I have incredible strength. So yeah, that's a total misconception.
Yeah, because you know, the misconception, I had a gal one time come in, it's reminding me of a consultation that I did with this lady. And I said, you know, have you trained before? She said, yes. Have you worked with a trainer before? Yes. And I said, oh, well, tell me, are you still training with that trainer? She said, no. She said, I was working with that trainer for 3 months and they had me on a program. And she said, my back got so big that I had to stop training. And I said, I looked at her and I said, well, then I want to be on that program. Because
I've had the same clients.
I said, I want to be on that program because as a bodybuilder, okay, working his ass off, if I could put on 12 pounds of muscle in a whole year, I was doing great. And you did all this in 3 months? I don't think so. So what's really going on here?
It all comes to me like that. All these women come to do the same thing that you just said right now. Oh, my gosh, it's so funny.
It was insane. You know, this is part of that mindset. It's like, no.
Yes.
And here's why that this is not going to happen. Okay, physiologically, you don't produce the same testosterone, except for maybe in the middle of your day-days, you don't produce enough testosterone for that to happen to begin with. So let's just get that straight. I'm really straight about talking to some of these people because there's so much misconception.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they use that as the damn excuse as to why they can't do it, you know? And the truth of the matter is, even if you were training like a bodybuilder, and you should, when you start changing the relationship, you're going to put on a little muscle, but for goodness sake, you can control that too. It's going to improve that circle that you're talking about because a lot of that's fat. And when you change the relationship between the muscle and the fat through your training from head to toe, you're not doing a partial body workout. If you're a legit trainer, you're making them train the whole body over a period of
time. Exactly.
Right?
Are, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to actually improve that area. So, I mean, again, I think what you and I are talking about is that there's just so much misconception and just a lot of detail that's left out in the industry that sometimes no one's talking about, or shockingly, a lot of these trainers are not talking about. And it's again, that's part of the reason why I came back. I was reading on Google a lot of these trainers that come on, the social media stars, I call them, you know. And it's like, what the hell? You know, I can tell by the articles that they're writing and the way that they're, going about their programs that they really don't know what they're talking about. And they're passing that on to their client, you know. So it just goes on and on with the misunderstanding and all the confusion in the industry, right?
Well, and some of the problems too, I hate to say this, but a lot of it is just being young. I mean, you learn so much as you get older and you experience more. So at the height of my training, I sent you a video that I think you'll play excerpts up during this, but I actually, when I was 21 years old training, I met with Corey Hoffmeister. He's the inventor of the Warrior Diet. And I was the first female to get certified in the Warrior Diet training. And we traveled and taught people this very intense workout. In that video, I think you can see shoulder brothers. I got really strong working out with him. And we were training anyone from housewives to Navy SEALs, the same program. So that's where I believe about training everybody from a spectrum. So I sent you that video. It was on Fox News. for it and got interviewed about, like, you know, like, you're little, you're training Navy SEALs, you're training helmet, you're training this and that. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're training everybody this intense. So I was working with the best, doing the best training. So if you saw that, you'd be like, wow, my resume and bio is very impressive because that's an amazing experience. Interviewed by Fox, we did all that. It does look good. That is, again, well, that part of the video. I say it's beautiful currently. It's all good, but my knowledge from when I was 20, when I just learned something and repeated what I learned, to now having trained a lot of people and seen the results of them and training myself, completely different.
Right.
And the things that I knew then are just like, you know, you learn a lot of garbage, you believe it for a while, then until you learn, like, oh no, that's not right.
Right.
And then you have to retrain yourself. And that takes time. Like I said, I've been doing this for 15 years now. But me as a trainer now versus me as a trainer then, yeah, I looked good. Yeah, I had great opportunities. Yeah, I think it was amazing. But I'm so much better now. But, you know, I wouldn't have, but the videos then that I could, I wouldn't have social media like back then when I was 15 years ago. It would have seemed like I was all what you're saying about this kind of trainer. It would have seemed, I would have been one of those trainers.
Well, and the thing about it is this, we all have to go through that process. You know, there's no question about that. And what you're saying, Albert Einstein has said it best, and my dad also said it in a different way. Albert Einstein said, true knowledge is through experience. And that's exactly what you're talking about. My dad said it in a different way. He was as good as Albert Einstein because he said, you can't replace firsthand experience. So he was saying same damn thing, you know. So it's like, it's, and I said in some of my blogs, and when I talk to younger people, I said, look, you have to go through that process. You're going to be young and dumb.
You really do.
And you got to suck to get better. And unfortunately, you sometimes your client, you know, is at the end of all that. But you got to start somewhere. I mean, otherwise,
you really do.
You know, but I always, not only did I learn a lot from my clients, but I learned it mainly from firsthand experience. I know when I became a trainer, one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to be, when I was training my clients, I wanted to know everything about training so I could tell them ahead of time what they were going to feel, you know, because that gave me some credibility that this guy, you know what I mean? And yet, even with that being said, like you said, when I first started, I thought that everything was black and white. I was certain that this is how you put on muscle. And then as I went on, I look back and I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, it's actually more gray than it is black and white. I mean, some things are absolute, but not really. Not most things are not, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And it's what I like about it to this day, Sparkle, is I've been doing it now in the industry for 38 years, and I've been very lucky to be able to train, like, everybody. I mean, seriously, people who have been accidents, stroke survivors, athletes, actors. And I love this stuff as much today as I did back then. And again, getting back into the industry, we just got back from a huge, and I would suggest that you go see that because I was really impressed by this. It's a natural Mr. Olympia, and they had it in Vegas. They had 60 countries there. It's actually International Olympia. They had 60 countries there, and, you know, it got me all fired up again. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to put a jetpack on my back, and let's do this again. You know, because it's all about teaching and educating people and passing that forward. And that's how I stay relevant. For goodness sake, I don't want to go to the gym and be, you know, in the gym and lifting weights and posing anymore. I'm over that, you know?
Right.
And so you're kind of like a little bit behind me because of your age, but you're right in the middle of training
and
so where do you see yourself going from here as far as your future with all the stuff and all the irons in the fire that Sparkle has? What the hell are you going to do now?
You know, definitely every day you do the best you can. You learn, you know, every day. Yeah, I'm teaching somebody and I'm learning something at the same time. So I'm using all of that to utilize my talents. And like I said, I mean, I'm 36 years old now. Not afraid to say that. And it's,
great.
You know, my acting is going as stronger than ever. My clientele is rising. I mean, I'm not turning people away. I still can always see clients. But it's at that point where, you know, who would have thought that things could just go, you know, back in the day, you were sort of, you know, that it's like the worst time to act at 36 is, you know, you don't get the young ones, you don't get the old ones. But now it's like there are so many room for opportunities. So I'm gonna do what I do every day, be the best I can, work as hard as I can, stay focused, but always have that open mind to learn as well as to teach. Because you get everything. Oh, I've learned. Oh, I mean,
but
you're still going to these events and getting excited and getting re-energized.
Right.
If you just do the same thing over and over, and you might know a lot more than these people, but you want to keep relevant with what's going on.
That's
if you do know more, why do you know more? What are they doing? And usually it's like you can learn something cool by the younger people. You're learning one day, oh, that's a good idea. I never did that one before. And then you're like, okay, well, they're a little green in this area, but I got this. And so if you take a little bit of everything,
That's the secret right there. But, you know, the thing about that is, because over the years I've worked with so many trainers, I've certified trainers, I've had lots of trainers work for me in the 38 years, but you have to be that person that it's your nature to be hungry, you know, not
right.
That person, because I tell my trainers when they come in, I said, I'm looking for a certain type of trainer. And if you're that trainer that just wants to come in and mail it in, phone in the workouts, you know, you're not willing to keep learning and pass that on, you can't work for me. I don't want you. I want you as far away from me as possible.
Right.
You know?
And Leo, what do you think about all this online training? I'm very curious.
Well, interesting that you said that, because I don't know. I mean, I talked to a guy, a promoter, and they have that, like, teams of people that came to this event. That's how it was really different than the other competitions that I used to compete in. They didn't have teams come over. They had a group there, the Australian guy. He had a team of Australian competitors. Well, I went out one night with him, because this is when you get the real good information. And I don't drink anymore, but I went out and to a club in Vegas, and I had that guy at a booth, and I started asking, you know, okay, so tell me, you know, the kind of the skinny of what you do. Well, he's an online coach. He has these athletes from all over the country. And I said, okay, well, how the hell does that work? And this guy makes a full-time living at it. As a matter of fact, he's going to be on my podcast, because I want to find out more about that. I'm actually calling him today at 3 o'clock, because I just got from this event, somebody reached out to me from India that's doing a show in April, and they want to know if I will work with them. So I'm going to tell you, I'll let you know. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, with technology and everything, like with Skype and like with the, you know, you can do video now, I can see where you can actually engage in a way that I never could when I first started. I mean, this is very useful to be able to analyze people. You know, you give them a workout, but I don't really know the end result of that, how that turns out. I don't know. How about you? Have you had any kind of experience with that?
No, this is where I'm an old timer like you, Leo. I'm just so old school with all of this stuff that, and if you're like, well, you can make so much more money if you know this and this and your online business, and I'm like, but I wanted some results. And I mean, I feel like anybody could set up on a camera and do this with me. My video that I sent you is a very interesting training video, but I'm doing a lot of intense things that if someone goes and tries to replicate that, they can actually get pretty hurt. And I'm not sure, you know, I show people over and over when they're in front of me, and they're still like getting right, like, wait a minute,
right.
But this is your elbows in the mouth, like, this is wrong. And I'm critiquing them after I've been doing this, and really, they're like, did you guys not watch me at all? Am I just doing my own workout here? So I can imagine in an online forum when they're doing that, if you're popping and you're not there critiquing that, oh, they're doing it wrong, that makes me nervous.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I'm going to find out. I told the guy from India, I said, you know what? Because he's getting ready for, they have these different categories like at all over the world. He's doing it for a modeling. They actually have a modeling category at this event. So, and he sent me a photo. So I know exactly how I have to train them, because I used to get that like with Kevin Costner. He told me exactly how he wanted me to train him. He said, don't put 1 pound on me because I have a certain look. And if you put 1 pound on me, he was emphatic, man. He was serious, because his career. He said that will make me look, you know, it'll change my look on camera. So I learned a lot about that stuff as I was training people, which kind of goes.
That's a great experience.
Well, it is. And it goes to your point about how in the hell do you do this online, you know, because it takes a while for people to learn this stuff, you know. So I don't know. I can't tell you how this is going to work out, but I'm going to do some fact finding. And see, because I'm like this, I don't mind, I love, listen, I always have wanted to make sure that the heart of where I come from is about the workout and it's about getting you the results. But I don't have one issue with making money either, you know. And if I can do this and give you the result that I think that you deserve and make money at the same time, I'm in. I just don't.
Right.
We'll see. So I will get back to you on this.
That would be good, because I mean, I even have problems with a class. I mean, I kept my boot camps really small. Usually there are 5 to 10 people. And even though I get so many people that are like, I would take in this class and I did in this class and this, and I can be able to blame. So it's like, and when you're teaching 5 to 10 people, you know, you have that focus, but it's not like the one-on-one training.
Right.
And so when people tell me that, I mean, knock on wood, I have it, all my boot camps are going well, I know it's been injured. But what if, you know, I'm doing this online stuff and saying, yeah, we get started for free, now we can't walk anymore, now we can't, and then it's like, then my reputation's getting ruined. Exactly. I wasn't even there helping them do it. I have no idea what they were doing on their own.
Exactly.
And that makes me a little nervous.
So and it should.
Yeah.
It should. It really should. And yet I think too many of them that are out there don't really care enough, you know? You're one of
right, it's all about that money.
Yeah, you're one of the good guys slash good girls. I mean, really, you care about that stuff, and I'm all with you on that. Okay, so listen, we're going to wrap this baby up, but do you want to, before we go, I want to invite you to come down to the big town of Tulare. Have you ever been there, or you just passed by?
Of course, the outlets. Everybody needs to go to Tulare.
There you go. So I would like to someday, I know you're going, you got lots of irons in the fires, but happen to be coming down the old 99 towards LA and you got to take a, go to the restroom or something, then you can just pull off. I'm not that far off the freeway. I would like to invite you because I think that you might find the way that we train our clientele. I think it would be interesting for you. Because one of the things that we have figured out is I train also small groups of people, 3 or 4 at a time, but I figured out a way, Sparkle, to, even though I'm training 3 or 4 people at a time, each one of those people have their own program. It's a pretty unique little approach that we take.
Right.
Because I had to learn that, because otherwise I couldn't have made a living. I've made a living as a full-time trainer since 82. When no one was doing it. So I had to figure out a different way without compromising result. And that has carried over. And we're busy. We have my studio. I have 200 clients, a little over 200 clients in my studio. And we do all that with basically 1.5 trainers. That's how efficient we are. And they're all getting their own program. It's not cookie cutter, you know, because I don't necessarily like the group training where everybody's doing follow the leader. That's not my style. And so I'd like you to come down and check it out someday. Otherwise, do you have anything that you would like to promote through the podcast where people can go? I know you did the bustier for us.
Yeah, okay, so Pataza. You can order stuff at pataza.com. Like I said, all their prices are super cheap on their active wear. It's really comfortable. I'm not endorsing it because anything for this to talk about. No, I just would like it. It was created by a woman for women. Now she's getting stuff for men. And I'm trying it out myself again because we're so old school. I'm like, what the hell are these waist trainers?
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm learning as I go about how to do those. And people can follow me, Sparkle Surgeon, on Instagram and Facebook. It would be great for them to watch my show, the Everything Sparkle Show, on YouTube. They can subscribe to it. And especially if they're in the area, they're going to love the guests that I have.
Yeah,
because they're all over the map. I mean, yeah, you're not going to like everybody. You might not like the person that's here. It might not be relevant for you, but you know that I'm getting Jerry Dyer. So I like to talk about meat and potato issues. But yeah, sometimes we talk about things that aren't always meat and potatoes. And I love that. I love talking about real things. I've interviewed amazing people that are local that have like books and documentaries written out. There's one woman, her only daughter, her only transgender daughter, suicide, and they did a documentary about it that won all these awards, and this all happened during COVID. So I just interviewed people again. We started something, you don't know where it's going to go, and it ends up teaching you lessons and inspiring you, just like training. And so that's kind of what my show's done for me, and I hope, you know, people could just tune in now and then to see what's going on.
Yeah, I agree with you too. You know, I did this podcast, it's mainly to talk about training, but it's a lot more than that. If you notice, I like to know about the people because they bring stuff to the table if you'll just bother to find out about them, you know? and just let them talk a little bit and tell them who they are. People are very fascinating. And then if you, yeah, and the thing that you do really well, because I, you know, I watched you on your show when I was off set, and even like when I was interviewing with you, is that you have a really good way of doing that and interweaving it in a way that it's just part of, it's like you and I have been just conversing with each other. And I think that's when the best stuff comes out. And, you know, and then you can also weave in, like we did here, we've been training and so it all works. But you're good at what you do, and I really like your energy. And I want to thank you very much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Leo, and thanks for coming on my show. I get great feedback. Awesome. Like, we love that. Leo, he's awesome. And I was like, yeah, you're one of my most talked about guests.
I paid all those people to say that. No, I didn't, really. No.
I'm the only one that says you're Eric Roberts' doppelganger, though, so that's good for me.
Oh, my God. Anyway, listen, it was nice chatting. Go back to doing your 1,000 things in an hour, okay? I don't want to keep you. I don't want to hold you back.
Oh, this is fun, Leo. Okay. I always have time for Leo.
All right, Sparkle. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
Bye now.
Bye.